finish yours too.
Oh, yep.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the 52nd and final show related to the Vegan Health Bundle, which has been going on for a period of 10 days from March 1st through March 10th. It ends tonight at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. It's your opportunity to get the most amazing curated bundle of amazing products from your favorite plant-based doctors, plant-based chefs, creators, influencers, vendors with coupons, ebooks, courses, videos, over 2,000 recipes. And we have a bundle contributor here today too, actually. They work together. They're called the Chef and the Doc, and they're on the fourth Saturday of every month on Chef AJ Live for a regular show, but they're doing a little bonus appearance today to talk about what they have in the bundle. Their names are Karen Dugan and Dr. Jim Loomis. Please welcome them both to the show. Hello, bundle buddies. How are you?
Hi, Chef AJ. We are so proud of you. Both you and Lissa. My goodness, you guys are bundle heroes. Thank you so much for all these opportunities. We really appreciate
thank
it.
You. Well, it's just we have such top quality people in the bundle. And of course, you're going to tell us what you have in the bundle. But what I really like hearing from is what you like in the bundle other than what you put in.
Okay. Let me just show you some of the things that I've made this week. Can we do that? Can we do show and tell?
Absolutely. Because this is what has helped, Tammy Kramer and Tom Kramer sell so many bundles is by cooking their way through the bundle, other people's recipes.
Well, fantastic. Because I made this earlier in the week with my husband. He's been asking me for jambalaya for years. Okay. And I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. And then I came across, and it's just a little bit left because I've eaten it all. This is Debbie Adler's Cajun jambalaya. Now I put some tempeh in it just because I had it and I'm trying to get through it. And also, by the way, I froze part of this week because everybody wants to know if something can be frozen. So yes, you can freeze Debbie Adler's Cajun jambalaya, and it is delicious. I would highly recommend. It's a great batch cook. Yeah, fantastic. Okay, I've also made Faithful Plateful's carrot cookies. Now, because I cannot leave well enough alone, I had to add chocolate chips and walnuts, though you but these are delicious, and we've actually been eating them for breakfast. They're great breakfast foods. So I'm a big fan. And I'm making friends as I do this too. I have some new plant-based chef friends. Now this, I think that Dylan Holmes from Well Your World might have to put, I might be in trouble with the police because I have talked about him in so many lives because I've made his IKEA style veg balls about four times this week. And I only have one left. I'm sorry. Because I've eaten them all. They are so delicious. And this is his cashew sauce. I have tagged him in all this stuff. We've never met. We don't know each other. And I do not have a crush on him, I promise. But it's such a great recipe that I had to make it so many times. It's so great that I put it on TV on Tuesday. I have a weekly segment on our Fox affiliate here in St. Louis. And the host of the show totally inhaled them after our segment. It was crazy. So fun. All right. Now, Chef AJ, I know that a lot of people have made this. And I love chocolate and peanut butter. So how am I not going to make your Goodman Chews? I made them a week and a half ago. And I'm about almost a halfway through.
Oh my God. Well, that's restraint though, that you still have some left.
I can promise you if they were in my house, they would be gone for sure.
Yeah, that's why he didn't get any. Yes.
Yeah, right. I'm glad I live in DC and she's in St. Louis, right?
And then finally, Better Food Guru, my new friend, Sarah.
She's great. It was so nice meeting her. It's so nice making new friends.
She's wonderful. I really, really enjoy her. I made her Brussels and blueberry salad earlier in the week and, inhaled that. And sorry, we don't have any more, but this is her best cucumber salad. And she calls it that. And I was like, I'll be the judge of that. No, this thing is so great. It's going in my next class. I'm so excited about
what's what's so unique about it, you think?
So, okay, so it's what she has. I have yogurt, lime, or sorry, yeah, lime. There was some other, oh, maple syrup, just and some things in there that I wouldn't have put together. It just works. It
yeah,
just
she is the salad guru, really.
She really is. I call her Salad Sarah. And I think that is all that I have for show and tell of things that I've made this week. Because I've made, you know, I made a huge batch of that jambalaya. So I ate it for a few days. And, you know, again, I made Dylan's balls 4 times. Is it a family show? So so it's been a really, really, really great experience for me, at least, because, you know, I've been doing this since 2008. I've been plant-based since 2008. And we all get in a rut, you know? So it was nice to get out of that and just cook other people's recipes.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
And, for, you know, for me, you know, I got to look at the bundle through two lenses, through my doctor hat lens, and then my own personal, you know, resources for me and my friends and family, you know, from a plant-based standpoint. And, you know, there was lots and lots and lots for both of those tracks, if you will. You know, so many resources for that I could share with patients on that are kind of getting started on this journey or have been kind of plant curious. You know, some that have dealt with emotional eating and food addiction disorder, you know, issues, you know, there's some resources around that. There's some kind of quick start guides, you know, Kaylee Anderson, our friend who's from St. Louis originally, has some great stuff. You know, not to mention all the, you know, the thousands and thousands of recipes. The other thing I liked about it is, as you know, AJ, I practice, you know, lifestyle medicine. So we look at the impact of not only food, but also physical activity and sleep and stress and social connections and things like that, you know, how that impacts our health. And so it was great to see resources beyond just the food aspects. There's some great resources around yoga and physical activity, about mindfulness. So I mean, it just blew me away. I was telling Karen, it'll take me probably a year and a half to get through all this stuff on my own personal side, you know, the Japanese plant-based cooking and the Indian cookbooks and on and on and on. I mean, it's just so much. And again, I really loved it, both for me to enhance, you know, as, you know, I've been plant-based 10 or 12 years, but as Karen said, sometimes we kind of get in a rut with our cooking and recipes and, you know, thinking about this, maybe finding recipes that are maybe unfamiliar. The cooking with tea one I thought was amazing. But also, again, having these resources that are so valuable for my patients. And I can tell you, when I went plant-based summer of 2011, there just weren't a lot of resources out there, right? There was a lot of vegan cookbooks, but they were just using fake meat and oil and trying to recreate meat, right? Forks Over Knives cookbook that the Chef Dell, who has a great contribution here, is Oil-Free Salads. That was the first cookbook I bought. And I just wish I would have had a resource like the Vegan Health Bundle to kickstart myself, my journey, you know, 10 or 11 years ago. It certainly would have made that journey a lot easier.
Absolutely. And now it can for all of you.
And you know what's so incredible is that, not that I want to like sound salesy or anything, but we've talked about how much this is. So it's $8,049 if you buy each individual contribution separately, right? Now it's $49. I got it. You know what that comes down to? 38
cents a product. And one course is worth 500. It's insane, isn't it?
I bought, or whatever I signed up for, Chef James, year-long 8-class program. I'm so excited for this. And it's 200, it retails for $295, which is still a bargain, but it retails for $295. And I literally, like, it got 38 cents. How can you not?
I mean, just to get the bundle for that. And Chef Kelly has another course that's about 500. I don't think people, unless they actually take the time to either read the bundle page, you know, or sign up or buy it, really understand this is not a joke. It's a really, really great value.
Yeah, it's funny. We did a live Zoom call yesterday, Friday, right? When was that, Karen? We did the live Zoom.
It days ago, Friday.
Yeah, and so we pulled up and we went through the bundle and looked at the value and talked about kind of the ones that stood out for us. And so people were really blown away that to when we walked through the whole bundle with them and talked about the great value that's there, and that was very beneficial. And it's also interesting, Karen, I don't know if you saw someone commented on Doc and Chef on one of your videos, how much they appreciated you doing these lives with different aspects of the bundle. They had already bought the bundle, and help you helping them, hearing that over and over and guiding them through which pieces are really great value and such. So that was commented on today, actually.
Cool. Well, I'm glad somebody's watching our social media.
Yeah, right. For sure.
I also think that it would be a great gift for somebody. So if you have a friend who's plant curious, if you have a longtime vegan friend, plant whatever, it doesn't matter, and their birthday is coming up or graduation's coming up, Mother's Day is coming up, buy it, download it to a thumb drive or a little, a little jump drive, put a ribbon around it, put it in a card or a little box and give it to them. I mean, it's a great gift, right? I mean, I would have loved to have something just like Jim was saying. I would have loved to have something like this years ago. So, but for $50, that's not bad. That's 99% off.
Right.
Crazy.
Cool. How are you going to make a fish taco if you're vegan?
Wow. Thank you for asking.
Yeah,
Have you ever used played with banana blossoms? So this
I
is
don't even know what it is.
so it is, if you can see this, and I have a picture actually, I'll show you. This is the blossom, the flower, and then up here are the bananas. I'll show you, I'll give you a better picture.
And this is actually a banana from a banana.
Well, so it's the blossom, the flowering blossom. See, these are all the bananas. And then at the end of the bunch, there is a flowering kind of blossom. And that part, it's used in a lot of like Thai cooking. And so I've been probably playing around with these things for the last 3 or 4 years. And jackfruit has really taken off, but banana blossoms haven't quite yet. And so when you open up the can, I've already, drained and rinsed this off, but this is what it looks like. It's that been crazy. I mean, it's not sexy. It's a little scary, I'll tell you.
It's
And
yeah, it kind of does. It's kind of freaky looking.
Yeah, it is.
it kind of is. But here's the thing. If you just wash it really well, and then what I do is I take some seasonings, right? And then also for something like with fish, and I don't care if you're doing jackfruit or if you're doing or if you're using jackfruit or if you're using tofu or anything, and you want to make it taste kind of fishy, like fish, right? You want to use a little bit of seaweed. So all
Yeah.
I is instead of buying like kelp powder or anything like that, which you can do, you just go to your grocery store and buy a like a sushi roll-up original. So this is sushi nori seaweed. You can find this at just about any grocery store. And you put it in your coffee grinder or your spice grinder. And then I just put it right here. I mean, I just keep like a little jar of it. That's all that this is. So then you grab a bag. So you remember Shake and Bake, you guys?
Yep.
Oh yeah, right. Well, I hadn't thought about that in a long time.
Take all your seasonings. Yeah. And then take your banana blossom and put it in there and just
Shake it up. Shake and
shake,
bake.
shake, shake. And then you put that in your air fryer and you let it go for several minutes at a certain temperature. And then what you get is, I'm going to go like this. This is like this. They look like that would be just like blackened fish or grilled fish.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it
I wonder,
has.
where do you get the banana blossoms? Like at a health food store?
So online, Amazon, of course, but at your international grocery store. So if you, I mean, I'm sure you guys have plenty of them by you. But yeah, they're going to be at any international grocery. They're usually in these 28-ounce cans. And then what I'm going to do is just take some corn tortillas, and hopefully they won't break on me because I put them in the microwave 3, 4 minutes ago. And then get my quick cabbage, quick pickled cabbage. Bombs. Put that on the bottom. So you've got your cruciferous veggies, yum yum, in the raw state. Oh, and by the way, Lissa, wow. I was watching your thing last night with the hand or the hand salads.
Oh, yeah.
I'm also going to be looking at her taco book because I want to know how to, I want to learn how to make hard tacos, raw hard taco shells. I'm super
Oh,
excited.
wow. Yeah. We got to get a dehydrator, Karen.
Oh yeah,
I
those
know.
are good. They're not that hard, actually. I've made them and they're actually pretty easy to make.
Okay, well, good to know. Good to
And
know.
she has a carrot chorizo that's like a low fat chorizo. That's really, a lot of times
Oh,
tomatoes.
wow. Oh, that sounds great. Yeah, I've got a dehydrator, but I need to get one of the silicone mats to go on it, because I use it mainly to make a snack, like fruit snacks, like apples and plantains and bananas and pears and things like that. So I'm gonna have to get me a silicone mat to go on my dehydrator so I can start making some of these raw burritos, if you will.
Jim, I'm
Yes.
gonna make fun of you, okay?
Okay. It's something new and different. Something new and different, Karen.
I'm gonna get me.
Well, listen. All right. She's making fun of my Southern. I grew up in Little Rock, Arkansas, and that's where I went to medical school. And she's making fun of my Southern accent. It doesn't come out very often, but sometimes there's a few words I say that are where it kind of sneaks out. There's a few phrases too. I'll say, I'm fixing to go to the store. I'm fixing to go to the airport. I'm fixing to make me a cup of hot tea.
Honey.
He knows I love him. Okay, so here are, this is our bed.
That looks fantastic. I'm hungry too, so.
And then what we're gonna do is I have this lime crema.
Oh,
Yes.
wow.
And then put that on top.
So what's in that
I'm not telling you.
crema?
You got to come to class. And then I have a little bit of cilantro. If you like to do that, you can also put on some avocado. And then wrap that baby up and indulge. And so this is gonna be in Thursday's class.
That
This is
looks fantastic. Wow.
our taco.
A crema I made not too long ago, which was fantastic. I made a my I have two sons who live here in DC, and we like to cook together. They're not completely plant-based, but they're plant friendly. So we'll have kind of cooking parties together. And we've done Chinese dumplings, we've done tamales, we've done chili. But we had a taco party not too long ago, and I made some plant-based fixings to go with it. But I made a chipotle cashew crema to drizzle. It was so good. I mean, it was almost one of those things you could just squeeze it in your mouth, right? It tasted so good. And by the way, Karen, I've done that same, I've used one of the things I like to make, being here in DC is Maryland crab cakes, right? So where I've used jackfruit, and I've also used hearts of palm as the crab. I use the nori or the seafood to give it the flavor. And then I use your fat-free homemade mayo made with silken tofu is the mayo, and then the Old Bay seasoning, and
So good.
they are so good. They are so good. So yeah, it's amazing. But those
Yeah, they're pretty terrific.
tacos look really good.
But if you're a member of the Center for Plant-Based Living, you certainly don't have to pay for this class because it's included. But if you're not a member, we're just asking, I think it's $9.99 and it's virtual. But that's what we have in the
Right,
bundle. We have
as
a
a membership.
membership to the Center for Plant-Based Living in the bundle. And that retails at $90 because it's $30 a month. So if you sign up for the class or if you sign up for the membership in the bundle, get the bundle, You can come to class on Thursday as a part of it. No extra out of pocket.
Nice.
So Karen, explain a little more about the membership. I think people, you know, I think it's such a great resource. You know, I actually have prescribed Karen's membership in lieu of diabetes medicines, because it's such a great thing. And Karen, just explain a little bit more about kind of how you came up with the membership idea and, you know, what all it includes.
So the membership is, so I'm coming to you today from the Center for Plant-Based Living, and it is in St. Louis, Missouri. It's the nation's first and still only fully plant-based nutrition and culinary education center, and Jim is our medical director. COVID came along, and so the COVID baby here is the virtual membership. And we have people from all over the world who are members, and it's pretty exciting. You get access to all of the classes, which is 50 and growing, of course. Each class has at least 3 recipes, sometimes up to 5. So we have about 165 recipes as well. You have access to the classes and all the downloadable PDF recipes. And then the members also get a class every month as well. And I always encourage people to cook along with me from the comfort of their own home, because once class is over, dinner's on the table and you have just made it yourself, which is kind of fun. Really helps with that kitchen confidence. And then once a month, we also have a group support call. And once a quarter, Jim joins us and people have access to a plant-based practicing internist. And usually it's this kind of fun, rapid fire, ask the doc question. So, and also the library has all those classes and all the recipes, but it also has a lot of Jim's talks that he gives all over the world. So you get that as part of the membership. And then all of the group meetings that Jim's a part of are also recorded and kept in the library. So there's a lot of information from a plant-based doc in there as well.
And by the way, Karen is a certified health and wellness coach. So her support calls are really helping people work through if they're having issues. You know, sometimes it's kitchen issues, but sometimes it's, you know, kind of, again, people that are trying to change behaviors around food. And I really enjoyed it. I mean, the ask the doctor one, it's an hour long. And, you know, sometimes I'll give a little talk, like 15-minute talk on whatever we'll solicit topics. And I'll talk for 10 or 15 minutes about whatever. And then we open it up for questions. And I can tell you, I mean, honestly, getting an hour long consult, that's worth a year's worth of subscription right there, really. No, I mean, not to pat myself on the back, but you just don't get that, right? You just, you know, how often do you get access to a plant-based physician to answer questions about what you're doing, especially, you know, there's so many patients that come to me or out there who are frustrated because their doctors don't know, you know, what they're doing or are poo-pied, you know, they don't believe in it or they don't support it. They can't answer the questions they have. So yeah, I love it.
Thank you. Well, there are some questions that did come in from you, Dr. Loomis, if you want to do your little quick
fire thing. Sure, let's
do it. Sure, we've got 3 of them. Well, thank you. The first one is from Paul. Will you talk about any lab tests that help reflect if there is insulin resistance present, like HOMA-IR, fasting glucose, trending upwards, et cetera?
Right. So there's insulin resistance, let me just back up here and explain what insulin resistance is. So, you know, insulin is like a key that unlocks the door in our cells, mainly our muscle and liver cells, to let sugar in so we can store it for future energy use. And in the muscles, we use it for physical activity. In the liver, we use it a little bit for activity, but we also use it to help maintain a steady blood sugar in our bloodstream, because our brains can't store sugar. So we have to rely on the glucose in our blood. So, like, for example, at night when you're not eating, the liver can dribble out sugar overnight to keep your brain going. And when we consume a less than healthy diet and a sedentary lifestyle, a particular diet that's too high in fat, we start to get fat deposited in those muscle and liver cells, and that fat jams up the lock from the inside, right? So the insulin can't unlock the door. And when that happens, it causes the blood sugars to rise in our bloodstream. And over time, that puts more strain on our pancreas, and our pancreas can't keep up. And so we eventually go on to develop type 2 diabetes. So type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, type 2 diabetes, there's other conditions like metabolic syndrome and fatty liver and polycystic ovary disease syndrome, polycystic ovary syndrome. Those are all kind of manifestations of insulin resistance. Type 2 diabetes just being kind of further along the path than being pre-diabetic. And the way there's different ways that you can diagnose insulin resistance, type 2 diabetes, or pre-diabetes diabetes. You can do a glucose tolerance test where you give someone a known amount of sugar, and then you check their sugars every couple hours and be sure it doesn't. And if it goes up too high, you know, after a couple hours, that's one definition. Fasting blood sugar is another definition. But the problem with especially fasting blood sugars are, that's just one snapshot in time. And some people, you can have normal fasting blood sugars, but spike your sugars, a couple hours later. So the best test to do is at what's called a hemoglobin A1C. Hemoglobin A1C, so hemoglobin is the protein in our blood that carries oxygen, and it's actually what makes our blood red. And as our blood, red blood cells circulate in our bloodstream, they're exposed to sugar, and a certain percentage of that hemoglobin will get sugar attached. And so the number, hemoglobin A1C, that number is a percentage. So your A1C is 5.5, that means 5.5% of your hemoglobin has sugar on it. And so there's a direct correlation between what the average A1C is and what your average blood sugar's been for the last 3 months. And the reason it's 3 months is that our blood cells constantly wear out and we make new ones. So kind of the average lifespan of a blood cell is about 3 months. So it's kind of a rolling average over the course of 3 months of what your average blood sugar is. So normal is considered less than 5.7. 5.7 to 6.4 is considered pre-diabetic, and greater than 6.5 is considered diabetic. Traditionally, we talk about control of diabetes to be less than 7, although that's not how I think about diabetes, because I would argue that type 2 diabetes, pre-diabetes, insulin resistance isn't even a chronic condition. It's a normal physiologic response to an abnormal behavior, right? I mean, we did not evolve as human beings, sit by computers all day and eat McDonald's. So there are other tests like the insulin levels and the other stuff, but I think A1C is probably the best test to do. And by the way, you might ask, well, why is 5.6 okay and 5.7 is not? Well, it all has to do with risk. People who get insulin resistant diabetes, they don't die from that. They die from the complications that come with it. Vascular disease. So it can affect your eyes and your kidneys and your nerves. It can lead to heart attacks and stroke. And so if you plot out risk versus A1C, the curve's pretty flat to get to 5.7, and then it starts to go up a little bit. And when it gets to 6.5, it really starts to go up. When it gets above 7, it really starts to go up. So that's kind of how those, they're somewhat arbitrary, but they're based on the risks associated with the complications from having insulin resistance. So that's a long answer to a simple question. And the answer is hemoglobin A1C.
Very cool. Thank you. All right. We have another question. This one is from Anonymous. And Anonymous asks, can Dr. Loomis please talk about omega-3 and diabetes? How much fat is okay in the diet if it comes from whole plant food sources of fat? Does he recommend people stay below a certain percentage for the overall diet? Dr. Goldner, whom I love, has people eat a half a cup of flax a day and says she gets results for improving diabetes.
Yeah, that's a great question. So as I just mentioned, it is true that the root cause of type 2 diabetes is and insulin resistance is the fat, the intramuscular fat in the liver too, but mainly in the muscle, because that's where most, we use about 80%, 70-80% of insulin is actually used in skeletal muscle. So the way I approach this in the beginning, when you're trying to reverse, where does saturated fat come from in the Western diet? It's mainly from meat and dairy, and cheese being the biggest one. Pizza, for example, pepperoni pizza is like the fat bomb. Now there are, as the Anonymous pointed out, there are also plant-based sources of fats. I think Another quick comment, you know, I think we need to be a little bit careful sometimes about practicing what I call health reductionism, that we're treating, you know, heart disease risk different than we treat diabetes, different than we treat weight, different than we treat cancer risk. You know, they're all connected. So we know that diets that are high in saturated fat, for example, increase your risk not only of diabetes, but also breast cancer and colon cancer and prostate cancer and heart disease and stroke. And again, the biggest source of saturated fat is meat and dairy. There is some saturated fat in plant-based foods, but it's mainly tropical oils, which is like coconut oil, palm oil. There is a little bit in avocado, and there is a little bit in some nuts and seeds, but those are whole foods and they do have some fiber. So the way I approach this is, you know, I try to get everybody on a whole food plant-based diet. I try to get them to go oil-free because, you know, oil is just fat. And in the initial phases, when we're trying to reverse the insulin resistance, I really do try to restrict their fat intake to no more than 30, 35 grams a day. But it needs to, and the fat needs to come from, though, healthy fats like nuts and seeds and a little bit of avocado. But you have to be very careful. Oftentimes what I'll do is have people use an app like Chronometer and keep a food diary for 24, 48 hours and take the average and see. And I do this about once a quarter to recenter myself. And I have to be careful with things like nuts and nut butters, you know, and avocados, because I can really overdo that if I'm not careful. Once you get on the other side of the insulin resistance, which typically takes 2 to 3 months, it depends on how bad it is, then I think you can liberalize your fat intake a little bit. It doesn't mean you can go back and start pouring olive oil on everything. But and again, what's interesting is a lot of the health benefits of a whole food plant-based diet, you know, almost a substitution effect, right? So if you're getting your protein from chicken, for example, or beef, or even salmon, what else are you getting? Well, you're getting fat, and you're getting, even salmon has some saturated fat. What are you not getting? Fiber, right? When you get your protein from beans, what else are you getting? Fiber. What are you not getting? Saturated fat. So it's really a combination of it's not just the fat we need to pay attention to. It's fiber, 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 fiber. And really, you know, the current recommendations, guidelines say maybe 30 grams of fiber a day. I have patients try to get 40, 50 or more. That's how you're going to get on the other side of the insulin resistance. And, you know, and again, I think the question about oils comes up a lot. You know, I think we should think about, if we think, we should think about our calories like we think about our money, right? When we have extra money, we want to invest in our financial future. What we're looking for is a positive return on investment. Well, every calorie you put in your mouth is either an investment in your health future or it's not, right? And if you have 100 calories to invest right this minute, and you can invest it in oil, just pick an oil, it doesn't matter, peanut oil, coconut oil, olive oil, you know, whatever. What does the nutritional return on investment look like? Well, first of all, 100 calories of olive oil is less than a tablespoon. There's about 125 calories per tablespoon. What are you getting? There's about 12, 13 grams of fat, which is a third of what you need in the whole day. What else are you getting back from that besides fat? There are a few polyphenols, antioxidants, and cold-pressed, you know, olive oil, but not very many. But what's not in there? There's no fiber. There's no vitamin C. There's no, you know, potassium to lower blood pressure. So in fact, and there's no protein. So in fact, edible oils are the worst return on investment you can make, right? And, you know, again, less than a tablespoon is not going to fill up your stomach. What about 100 calories of beef, chicken, pork, salmon, whatever? It's about an ounce on average. Think about how much space that takes up in your stomach. Not very much. What do you get back from that besides protein and fat? Nothing, right? There's no fiber. There's no cancer-fighting phytonutrients. In fact, these antioxidants and phytonutrients only come from plants. And if you really think about it, the animals have just served as the middleman for the nutrition, right? They've already used all the good stuff. They eat the plants. They use all the good stuff. They can convert what's left into protein and fat, which we then consume. Now, 10,000 years ago, there was probably a survival advantage to having access to that because we needed to get big and strong and find a mate before we died of infectious disease when we're 30. So we never had to worry about if we eat too much meat, am I going to get cancer or diabetes or have a heart attack because you're already dead. And, you know, we've unmasked those conditions. And because most of us are no longer starved for calories, we now have the luxury of skipping the middleman and going straight to the plants. What about 100 calories of broccoli, you know, beans, whatever? You know, it's 12 ounces, something like that. What else are you getting? Fiber, protein, cancer-fighting phytonutrients. What are you not getting? Fat. People don't realize, you know, there's more protein in a half a stalk of broccoli than there is in an egg, 8 grams versus 6 grams. So again, that's why inherently a whole food plant-based diet, because it's inherently very low in fat, typically about 10% of the calories. It's got just the right amount of protein, typically about 15% of the calories. And it's very, very high in fiber. It's highly anti-inflammatory, all of which not only help prevent, treat, and reverse insulin resistance, but also all these other chronic diseases. So again, long answer to a simple question, but I hope that answers it.
Nice. Thank you. And then we have a question from John. I bought a huge amount, like 4 pounds of golden flax seeds and 2 pounds of hemp seeds. And then I saw a video saying I probably shouldn't consume too much of these as I currently have enlarged abdominal lymph nodes. I'm trying to switch quickly to a plant-based SOS-free diet, but I really don't know what I'm doing. Maybe sign up for their 3-month
program. Yeah, there you go.
Any advice how much of these seeds I can safely consume?
Yeah, I haven't seen much research on that. I usually tell people to limit it. If you want to put it, so I use both of those. Now you want to be sure with the flaxseed it's ground. If it's not ground, you can't digest it because the lignans in there are really tough on our guts can't digest that. So probably chia seed too is better ground, as a matter of fact. They are great sources of omega-3s, which are important. Omega-3s are anti-inflammatory versus omega-6, which are inflammatory. So I think, you know, a tablespoon or two is probably, you know, maybe is okay. You know, if I'm going to have steel cut oats in the morning, I'll put some hemp seed or flax seed in there. You know, sometimes I'll put hemp seed on a salad, but they do, you know, nuts, and as I mentioned earlier, especially if you've got insulin resistance, they do have a lot of fat, and you do have to be a little bit careful, especially in the beginning. When you're trying to reverse the insulin resistance, but I think a tablespoon or two is probably okay. But again, you want to be sure your flax meal is ground. I use flax too. Karen can speak to this. You know, it's a great egg substitute. It's a binder, flax seed. You know, it, when you mix it with a little water, you take a tablespoon of milled flax seed and add a couple tablespoons of water and let it sit. It'll congeal, and you throw that in something that you would normally add an egg. It's a great binder. You know, Karen can speak to that as well.
Yeah, most of the time I'll put some ground flax seed in my burger mix. Really
helps. Yep.
Makes it stick together. Dr. Loomis, Struthi, who's watching live, saying, is type 3 diabetes really a thing?
Well, some people call Alzheimer's disease type 3 diabetes. There are three kinds of diabetes. There's type 1 diabetes, which is an autoimmune disease. And what that means is, for whatever reason, we're not quite sure why, what triggers it, but it may be a virus, but we're not sure. Maybe some milk antigens, protein antigens. We're just not sure of the trigger. Typically occurs in childhood. But what happens is we develop antibodies against, we think we're making it against some bacteria, but our bodies get confused and they actually attack the cells in our pancreas that make insulin. So type 1 diabetics lose the ability to make insulin very quickly, almost overnight. It's diagnosed very, you know, usually in childhood. You know, oftentimes people will go into diabetic ketoacidosis initially. And those type 1 diabetics are always insulin dependent, right? By definition, because you just can't make insulin anymore. Type 2 diabetes is by far the most common cause of diabetes, about 98%. And we've already talked a lot about that. That's insulin resistance. Now, there's a third type of diabetes that gets overlooked sometimes, and it's called type 1.5 diabetes, or LADA. That means latent autoimmune diabetes in adult. And what's interesting about that is it starts out looking like type 2. It occurs later in life. You have this kind of slow rise in your sugars. Most people already have an unhealthy lifestyle, so we attribute it to that. But where it gets unmasked is that, you know, people adopt a plant-based diet, and I can't get them off their drugs. Their A1C level's not coming down. And that starts to send up some red flags. Hey, is this really type 2 diabetes? Because what happens is it's an autoimmune disease like type 1, but it's much more insidious. It takes years for the antibodies to destroy the pancreas's ability to make insulin. That group of people will eventually become insulin dependent, but it takes a while. And there's some blood tests you can do, particularly a C-peptide, and you can actually measure anti-diabetes antibodies. I don't do that in everybody, but if there's a disconnect between the lifestyle someone's leading and how their sugars are responding, that's kind of a trigger. Some people call Alzheimer's disease type 3 diabetes, because we know type 2 diabetes, type 3, I mean, Alzheimer's is a disease of chronic inflammation and has many of the same risk factors as type 2 diabetes, heart disease, you know, on and on and on. But again, what's interesting about that concept is, it's back to what I said earlier, when we flip the model upside down and think about the root cause of type 2 diabetes, breast cancer, colon cancer, heart disease, blood pressure, you know, Alzheimer's disease, the list goes on. You know, what is it? Well, it's the food that goes in our mouth, how much we move, how much we stress, how much we drink, whether or not we smoke, you know, what environmental toxins out there we expose ourselves to. And so when we flip the model upside down and really address these root causes, then you know, everything gets better.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So in case somebody tuned in late, what do you guys have in the bundle, which only is going to be available for about another, how many, 6-8 hours, I think.
Yeah.
We're closing it out, baby. So the Center for Plant-Based Living is offering a 3-month membership. It's a virtual membership that gives you access, full access to all of the past classes, all the past cooking classes, and the recipes. So all the recipes are downloadable, you can keep them. And then, so there's about 160, 165 recipes so far, and we have more each month. You also have access to a group call about the third Thursday of every month. And once a quarter, Dr. Jim Loomis, who's our medical director, comes in and answers questions that people might have. It's a really fun kind of rapid fire ask the doc question hour. And then membership, members also get their own class once a month. And I always encourage people to cook along with me from the comfort of your own kitchen, because once class is over, dinner is on the table and you have made it all. So it really helps with that kitchen confidence as well. And it's another opportunity to get coached.
Great. And the lime crema recipe, that's in an upcoming class. So if they buy the bundle, they can be in that class.
This class is Thursday evening, this Thursday.
Yes. Nice. And the bundle expires in about 8 hours. Dr. Loomis, I know some people want to go watch the Academy Awards. If you can answer this like in 30 seconds, Judy wants to know, what would make calcium levels high if you're already on a plant-based diet?
This is blood calcium levels?
It just says calcium levels. I'm guessing.
Yeah, so so if you're taking too much calcium, if you're taking calcium supplements, too many calcium supplements on top of, you know, a plant-based diet, which you can get plenty of calcium, but there are a number of endocrinology hormone issues which can cause that, particularly what's called hyperparathyroidism. The parathyroid glands are little glands in our neck that help control calcium metabolism. Sometimes see with vitamin D issues. So that's something you really need to talk to your physician about, because there's a lot of things that can raise that, and some of them can be more serious, and that needs to be evaluated if your calcium's too high.
And how can people see you in person or possibly even virtually, Dr. Loomis?
Yeah, I'm the medical director at the Barnard Medical Center. Some of you may be familiar with Neil Barnard and physically responsible medicine. We offer telehealth visits all over the country. There's two other practitioners. I'm licensed in some states, they're not, and they're licensed in some states, I'm not. I'm licensed currently in California, Florida, Missouri, Maryland, Virginia, and DC. So if you live in one of those states, we can get together online and do a lifestyle medicine consultation. Or if you live in another state, you can check our website, barnardmedical.org, and see if one of the other practitioners, we all have the same philosophy. We're all board certified in lifestyle medicine. But that's how you do it.
That sounds great. Well, thank you so much. And if you want more of Dr. Loomis and Karen Dugan, get the bundle or join their membership. Or if you get the bundle, you'll have 3 months, or come back the fourth Saturday of the month for their show. Thank you guys so much. And thank you for being in the bundle and your wonderful contribution.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks for having us again.
It's always a pleasure. And thanks all of you for watching another episode of Chef AJ Live. Please come back tomorrow at 11 a.m. Pacific time for Dr. Erin Mayfield. She is going to be talking about culinary medicine and the teaching kitchen, the critical components of chronic disease management. I'll give you a hint. It has to do with the food. Take care, everyone. Thanks for watching. Bye-bye.